Parsha Vayechi. So I want to discuss something that's been on my mind for years. I'll discuss it in the past sometimes even, but I'm going to try if I can to take a different angle to it today. We have a lot of stories and breaches of siblings, a lot of sibling stuff going on, and we have a fascinating, unbelievable ending off of siblings in Vayechi between the relationship between Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe are two brothers. Ephraim was younger than Menashe. Menashe was older. And they were born to Yosef and Mitzrayim. And we give tremendous kavod to Ephraim and Menashe. So much kavod. I bless my three boys every night, every Shabbos, I should say. I bless my three girls every Shabbos with Yishvi like Sarif, Rachab, Leah, or Imaos. And I bless my boys like Ephraim and Menashe. How about Ab Mitzrayim Yaakov? That's a parallel to the Imaos. Why am I blessing Ephraim and Menashe? Why do I bless my children that way? Not only that, but when Yaakov is meeting with Ephraim Menashe towards the end of his life, he says to Yosef, the children you had before I got here, they're like mine. Ephraim Menashe, Reuben and Shimon Yuli. These two boys, Ephraim Menashe, they're me like Reuben and Shimon. I view them the same as my sons themselves. Ephraim Menashe have this very unique role in Jewish history. Where number one, to this day, we still bless our children with their names. And number two, Yaakov himself, usually everyone loves grandchildren, of course. But they're not your children. But for Yaakov, they're his children. So what's going on here? Why exactly did Ephraim and Asher get to what they got to? And how do we make sense of this? And how do we learn from this? How do we bless our kids this way as well? I'll tell you first a wild shot, an unbelievable idea. Nothing to do with anything. It's not deep, but it's just fascinating. You see Torah, so many different layers to it. You find it right over here in this week's Parsha. Ephraim and Asher, the Baal Turim says the most unbelievable thing. If you do the gematria of Ephraim and Menashe, it's Kir Reuben Mishimon. It's one off. It's Kir. It's just like Reuben Mishimon. So yet you read the. I thought Yaakov didn't mean that. I don't think Yaakov wasn't doing a gematria when he said this. But you see the tremendous depth of Torah that Ephraim and Menashe is like Reuben Mishimon. It's mamish the numbers even. Just a little aside, not related so much to the discussion I want to have, but. Just a fascinating thing to tell you about. Okay. What's the bracha we give our kids? Ephraim Menashe, Reuben Shimon Yuli. What's Ephraim? Yisivka, we'll keep your Ephraim Menashe. So Sternbach, who is Baruch Hashem, he's still alive and well, he's in Harnof. So he points out, this is the bracha. The bracha is, imagine the following thing. We work so hard in life, and we have such goals for our family. Picture 100 years ago. People worked so hard. Picture goals for 70 years ago. Imagine the Holocaust. Yeah, the Holocaust and people in Europe didn't know they'd ever see the light of day. Their wish is that their family should continue on. People want to have children, you know why? So their legacy continue on. There are people who don't have any boys, they want the last name to continue on. It's a certain wish that every person has in his life a continuum. And therefore, Yaakov is sitting over here right now. And picture this. He's sitting there, he's looking at Ephraim and Menashe. And this is it. This is his Mesorah. And he's so excited with his grandchildren being the way that they are, and he's so pleased. And we now to this day bless our children. It's not blessing the children because we're blessing the parents really. Ephraim Menashe is a representative of the chain of the Jewish people, and therefore Ephraim Menashe were the grandchildren of Yaakov, and he treated them with such love and respect. That's what the bracha is saying. We say to our children, we want to see not something with you, it has to do with the Jewish people, it has to do with us, it has to do with me. I want myself to continue. I want my legacy to continue, and really, we do it really through you. That's the way you see the beginning till the end of the generations. That's the bracha according to Rav Sternbach. You're part of a much bigger chain than yourself. But I'll take the reverse for a second. I'll do a little more now geared towards us. Someone at some point in time was hoping you would exist because you continue the chain that they started forth many, many years ago. There are people in America, let's say, whose parents, they risked their lives. They risked their well-being every single week, every single Friday. They were fired every single week because they wouldn't work on Shabbos. Just so they could have children, they could have you. Can you imagine what happens when those children themselves don't respect Shabbos? The key is that you're part, we're blessing God, we're being a brother to children, that you're part of a great chain. But to be part of a chain, you have to be part of the chain. You can't have someone who stood for so many things that they stood for and you don't stand for those things. People who died to be different. They died because they were Jews. They would risk their lives for it. And here we are, we want to be like everyone else. I want to fit with everybody else. But that's not part of the chain. Ephraim and Menashe means that they're standing out as being part of a legacy of something else. And they worked for you, they tried it for you, then you have to look at yourself. You want to have kids who continue your chain, but you have to continue someone else's chain also. And our ancestors worked so hard for what they worked for, so it's our job to make sure that we continue their chain. That's the bracha we have to look at as, you know, as being the recipients of that bracha. Moshe Feinstein has a very nice idea as well. He says that what, you know, at the end of the day, we try our hardest to be great mechanchim, great educators, great, great parents. And when our kids leave our house, like whatever it is, like we hope we did a good enough job. Yaakov says, the children that you had before I got back here, they're like mine. Why? Because I must have done a great job educating you. Because I wasn't around for all their growing up. I wasn't around for all years growing up. And look how they turned out. I get that one. That's what one's on me. I taught you so well, Yosef, that you continue to teach your children all because of me. What I raised you with, look at the nachas I get. Ephraim and Menashe for Yaakov were the most special and sweetest of grandchildren. Why? He had other grandchildren. He had other ones. But he had no other one that he didn't see up till now. He was always raising all the children and grandchildren together. But these grandchildren, he wasn't raising them. He only raised Yosef, and Yosef raised them. But you know what it shows you? That the student, that the child became like the parent in the end. There was no greater nachas than sitting up and watching Jamie and Shmuel teach. I'm a teacher. And I watch people, you know, who I teach themselves become teachers in the end. The greater teacher that you are, the greater pride that I have in you. Could you imagine Yaakov, who watches now someone he trained to be a parent, because he educated him as a kid. And he's a parent just like Yaakov. The relationship that Yaakov feels to Ephraim and Menashe is different. Because it makes him realize that he was a great parent at the end of the day. So, Brachi, you want to give your kids also. Ephraim and Menashe, we should be able to see that the nachas of being able to appreciate what someone means, that you put so much effort and you realize the fruits of your labor, you saw how it turned out, is the most unbelievable feeling, unbelievable bracha. And that's what you bless your kids with every single Shabbos. That you should have the ability to see your generation and your teaching to be passed on as well. That's the way that Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to suggest it. But I'll take a little more of a personal route to each of us here. There's a sefer called Das Torah, Rav Yochanan Lubavitz, who says that the bracha we give is to our children is the bracha of Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe were underdogs. Imagine, you're growing up in Mitzrayim. You know, your grandpa's not around. Your father is role-playing viceroy of Egypt right now. You don't have a lot of hope for becoming this big religious inspirational figure. And at the end of the day, they became tribes of Israel. They exceeded everyone's expectations. They exceeded it all. People looked at them, they thought there's no chance this person makes it. No chance. You could actually, everyone speak to JB later on about his personal life story. You can ask him about it. You grow up in a situation, an environment, and people don't give you a chance to succeed. They don't give you a chance. And you bless your children that you should far exceed expectations people have of you. You should far exceed it. You're living in this way, your ability to learn is this way, you come from the following background. Russell C. Finkel, Shiva, the mere yeshiva, came from Ida Crown. Came from Chicago, from a regular day school. Exceeded anyone's imagination. You'd be the mirror. You have to be, you know, have learned from life. You have to be living in Yerushalayim. He wasn't. He came from a normal background. You and I, we don't have high hopes for ourselves in these areas. You know why? Because we're struggling, we're cracking our teeth over the most basic material. Well, today's Tosafot was not basic at all. It was very hard material. But in general, we're learning Gemara. We can barely read a Rashi. And, you know, therefore we say, like, it's not for me. I'll dabble in it. You can't sell yourself short. Rabbi Akiva, you have a 22-year advantage over Rabbi Akiva right now. You're miles ahead of him. Miles. The problem is that we don't hold ourselves up to high expectations for ourselves. Okay, I'll learn, I'll dabble, I'll understand a little better, and then I'll go, and I'm done. The bracha of Ephraim and Menashe, your parents gave you every single Shabbos, is they prayed about you, that you would exceed everyone's expectations of you. You'd exceed them. You'd be better than everyone else ever thought you'd be. That's an unbelievable bracha. But it's one thing to receive a bracha. It's very easy to sit there and just bow your head while your parent blesses you. Does everyone hear your parents bless you? Guys, your parents really, I mean, my parents, not my wife's, my wife, my in-laws don't, but I don't know what you guys do, but if you, you know, it's very easy to sit there and just go like this. You know, get wherever the hand is, you put your head there and say, okay, you get a bracha. That, your job is not to, it's not to, your dad's job is to give you the bracha. Your job is to do something about the bracha now. It's to live it. And the idea of Lubavitch says that your job, Rabbi Yerucham says, your job is to exceed what people and even what you think of yourself. Do not limit yourself based on what you think are your limitations. You have to work harder. You have to continue to strive even more than that. There's a another Pshat I want to share with you, the Emes Yaakov, which is one of the most, one of my favorite Emes Yaakov. Not, I have a few favorites, but one of my most favorite ones is this week's Parsha about Ephraim and Manasseh. But he asks a basic question. He asks, you know, Yaakov is a person who up until this point in time had made some crucial parenting mistakes. One can accuse him of, at least. Like creating animosity among the brothers. But how? By showing favoritism. He showed Yosef extra love. You'd imagine 23, again, I don't know if he knows what happened or not, but 23 years later, you have a chance to kind of think about life, maybe change parenting technique. And yet, the only grandchildren who he calls up to have individual meetings with him are Yosef's. Isn't he adding fuel to the same fire he created 22 years earlier? Why would he ever want to even dabble in showing anyone extra love at this point in time? Yet he does. So why would he do that? That's a question that Rabbi Dachmanovsky asks. So he gives an unbelievable shot. He says that no one will be jealous of the bracha from Ephraim Menashe. No one will be jealous. You know why? Because everyone understands that Ephraim Menashe needed the bracha more than everyone else needed it. Because they didn't grow up in Yaakov's house. They grew up, as I mentioned earlier, as a viceroy of Egypt's sons. Which means, how much Kedusha must they have in their lives? Questionable amounts. Every other of the children, you know, imagine, God forbid, imagine there was someone in your family, God forbid, not your family, someone you know of who has a family where there's a sick child in the family. No one is jealous. I mean, I shouldn't say no one's jealous. It's understandable when the parents spend more time in the hospital with them than they do with the sibling. It's more needy. They don't wish for that person's lot in life. They don't. Ephraim and Manasseh grew up in a place when they needed some serious bracha assistance right now. Because they didn't grow up among the Yaakov Avinus of the world. They grew up among the Paros of the world. And therefore, based on that, it's very normal and expected. They should be given some special bracha. And Yaakov wasn't worried at all about what it would create as far as animosity goes. And it happens to be, just take this one step further even, a sefer Yisrael called Tali Oros, who brings this down. He quotes a person, I don't know the word, but the name is, he quotes Mikdash Mordechai, the name of the sefer he quoted. Mikdash Mordechai says that not only was there no animosity between the brothers and Yosef having his children be extra bracha, but the most unbelievable part of this whole thing, picture the following scene, right? Everyone here has an older sibling? Yeah? Anyone here the oldest? Okay, so a number of you are the oldest. Okay, picture the guys who are the oldest. Take Yitz. We'll use it as a model, okay? What's next? What's under you? Brother or sister?
Brother.
Perfect. How old?
16.
Great. So it's close in age, right? Imagine one day Yitz and his brother, they go to grandfather to pay a visit. The grandfather goes to the brother first and you have to give him bracha. Yitz's father says, Dad, Yitz is my older one. And the dad goes, oh, I know. He's a fine young lad. But his brother? He's better.
True.
So what happens? Yaakov Avinu has Yosef and Ephraim Menashe in front of him. He puts his hand, the stronger hand, on Ephraim. And Yosef says, Dad, you got the wrong one. And listen to the line over here. He says, his father says, no, yadati b'ni yadati, I know. Gab hu yelam, v'gab hu yigdal. He's going to be a fine young man. The younger one, he's even better. And his children will like span the world. Like he's going to be like a world power. I can imagine that Yitz would be like hurt by that. Yaakov, forget about giving a bracha to the children of Yosef more, but he's saying the exact wrong things in front of the brothers. How can this be? What's going on over here? How could he make a statement like that and we just like ignore it and we go on and everyone acts normal? So, not only that, but Ephraim and Asher were the first siblings that really got along with each other. In the whole entire Chumash picture, starting from Yochanan and Hevel, murder. Then you have, Yishmael and Yitzchak. And, there was hatred. And Esav and Yaakov. And the Shvatim, Yosef and his brothers. This is the first somewhat healthy relationship that we have in the entire Torah. All you need to do to break that relationship would be to hear a Yaakov comment like this and be like, you're better than me. You'd imagine it'd be animosity. What a hero Menashe is. What an unbelievable brother. He's proud of his brother. He's never mentioned that he's bitter. Nothing. You give your child a bracha, you receive a bracha every single Shabbos. You're like Ephraim and Asher. You're fine with it. You know what? So imagine this to you. You'll be a millionaire and he'll be a 10 millionaire. I don't know if that's the way you say it even, but you'll have millions of $10 million. Would you be like, oh, he has 10, I want a 10. You'd be like, okay, $1 million. All right, I'll take that. One time, my Rebbe from high school said to me one time, he plays with the kids sometimes, he says to his kids, he said, would you rather I give you 2 cookies and your sibling 3 cookies, or you 1 and your sibling none? What do you think most people chose? One and the none. I'd rather I get 1, they don't get any. Why? Because I don't want to be less than somebody else. But you 2 is more than 1. You get double the amount. But I get less than them. I'm not okay with that. Menashe is a hero. He hears with his own ears someone say that to someone else, he's better than you are. And he says, I'll be also an Am. I'll take an Am. Am's pretty good. I'll be a nation. It's not bad. Could you imagine if you didn't look at other people around you in your life and you were just happy with what you had? You realize how fortunate and how lucky you are to be here and not, you know, be looking behind your shoulder at someone else who has maybe more than you may have, or at least you think that you have. He's a hero, Menashe. It's the most unbelievable brother in the world. You give your children a bracha, you should only be as close as Ephraim and Menashe were. As close as they were. And you put Ephraim first, because that's what reminds you that Menashe was such a tzaddik. He was fine with that. I'll say one last part. We have to run in 2 minutes, so we'll stop with this. There's a sefer called Nachach Tov who quoted a sefer named of Eved HaMelech. Never saw, I heard beforehand. Written by Shmuel Hamaner. He says the following chiddush. He says, why are we blessing Ephraim and Menashe right now? Why are we blessing our children this way? He says, because Ephraim and Menashe, they grew up, as I mentioned beforehand, with the greatest celebrities of Egypt coming in and out of their house. You know, we grew up in America, or right, everyone's America? We grew up in America, and we're affected by our culture. We're affected by it. Sports-wise, movie-wise, music-wise. They weren't even going in our house. We admired from afar. We admired them from afar. We live our life, we follow them in dress. We look at them as people to we try to imitate in on the basketball court or in life sometimes even. And we don't even live with them. We don't know them at all. Ephraim and Menashe lived with culture that wasn't Jewish culture. And they magically, amazingly, they thrived. They didn't let it touch the neshama at all. When you experience opposite culture, you can have one of two reactions. You can be drawn in by it, or you can be repulsed by it. I was learning with Judah Cohen in the Michta Meliyahu. He's a true person who's so strong in his beliefs. When you go into a bad environment, you become even stronger. Because you're like, that's disgusting. I would never even dream of that. Last night, in case you didn't know, was New Year's Eve. It's New Year's Eve, I don't know if you know that even. I'm not sure you know. But if you did know, then maybe there's a problem that you knew about it even. We're in Eretz Yisrael right now. We happen to, for some bizarre reason, have a culture. I remember a few years ago, I remember this, it hurt me so much. There were boys that I knew, that I was close with, who went to a New Year's Eve party in Israel. It's not an Israel thing. It's not a Jewish thing. It's a culture. It's a culture that's a foreign culture to us. To drink, to look at people in an inappropriate fashion, while under the influence of anything other than the happiness of life, is not an appropriate, that's the wrong culture to take. Ephraim and Menashe were living in a world when all around them was terrible culture. And they didn't let it seep in for a second. Could you imagine that bracha to give to your kid? I bless you. You should have the ability to understand what your neshama wants in life. To not be bothered by things around you that seem so enticing, it's just wrong. It's the wrong decision to make. Right now, at least for this year, you're out of the culture, and somewhat. Again, obviously, as people pointed in the past, you have a phone in your pocket, and it has all the things that you want in it, so you're not really out of the culture, but you're out of the culture in some ways. It's not in your face. If you can't pull yourself out of it right now, and try to experience what life is like to be a full-fledged Jew without culture getting in your mind, that we have a serious problem in our hands. Because in only a little bit of time, you're going to end up going back. And it's right in your face again. And if you can't understand the beauty, what it means to be living like a Jew, to be excited to wake up in the mornings, not like, I'm so tired. You're in Israel. You're in Yerushalayim. You have the opportunity to connect to God through tefillah. How could you not go to tefillah in the morning? Tzitzis. How could someone not want to wear, as I was pointing out the other day, how could you not want to do something that brings you closer to God? You don't have to. It's voluntary, as he pointed out. But you can. Why would you ever not want to do that? Our minds are so obsessed with the wrong cultures. And your parents bless you every single week. I wish you were like Ephraim and Manasseh. If only they understood what they're even saying to you. They're saying to you, I wish that you weren't affected by all that I have around us. I wish it wasn't the case. Give you the bracha that your parents give you every single week, and if they don't, I'll give it to you right now. At least for the Shabbos, at least. Yisimcha Elokim, Ephraim and Manasseh. You should be like Ephraim and Manasseh. Hashem should bless you all with having the opportunity and the ability, number one, to be loving of each other and so proud for your siblings and your friends who have successes in life. To be able to have the strength of character to understand what God put you in the world for. And to be repulsed, not enticed, but repulsed by anything and everything that brings you to the opposite direction. Have a good time.